Good, amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, moms. As Charles said, so thankful for the role of motherhood, the women in our lives. So thankful. Want to welcome all of you today. It's a good day, amen? Amen. It's already been good. And don't forget, the baby bottles are in the foyer. The CMA folks will be in the foyer with their tracks and in a little basket there if you feel led to contribute. Women's meeting, women's tea this week. Charles mentioned lots of activities. And so praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for helping us through all these wonderful events and the difficult ones. More funerals, more loss of life. Please pray for those families. A lot of loss this last winter, this last year. Please continue to pray for those families. When we get to the close of this service, we're going to sing that song again. And going to give you a chance to come and be prayed over. You just be thinking about that as the Lord speaks with you this morning. CMA people are here. I know they'd love to pray for you. Charles and I, we'd love to pray for you. But as I proceed through the message this morning and these songs that we have just sung, if there's something on your mind that you want to be prayed with, for, or over, we're gonna offer that again this morning. So if you got your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know these verses very well. I'm going to read them up front. I'm going to insert a story in the middle, and I'm going to close with some of the quotes in these verses again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7. Let me say this while you're turning there. Not every story told on Mother's Day is a happy story. Not every mother is having a happy Mother's Day. Are you hearing me this morning? It isn't always rosy and perfect in our lives, and some days Mother's Days are no different. A few years ago, with permission, some of you know our sister Linda Ring, I shared her story on Mother's Day. Some of you remember that, you were here. It's a hard story, but then it begins to be a story of love and redemption. But there were many years in Linda's life, there were not happy Mother's Days. 7 years ago, I was looking through my notes, and I was reminded 7 years ago, I shared this story that I'm going to share with you after the scripture, and I thought, wow, what a Mother's Day story. So if you were here 7 years ago and you heard the story before, forgive me for that. Most of you don't remember last week. But you might remember this story once you've heard it this second time. But I'm going to share that story again because it is powerful. It's a story about a mom and her daughter. It's a story about weakness and strength. It's a story about love and redemption. And so I'm going to share that as soon as I've read this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you read verse 1, 2, and 3, which I'm not going to take the time to do, you would see that Paul has seen a vision. He has seen, he says, I know a man 14 years ago who was caught up into the third heaven. Some of your Bibles will say paradise. Some will say the third heaven. But anyway, he doesn't list himself as going there, but we know we're sure it was him. But anyway, he had this vision of the throne room of God, things too wonderful even to describe. And he saw that, and we get down to verse 7, and he says this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations." He's talking about that revelation he had been given. And he's saying, unless I should get all proud about that, all puffed up, all boastful, all full of pride about that, he said, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Now, we're not sure what that thorn in the flesh was, but he elaborates a little bit when he says, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. So it was significant. And so he's saying, unless I get all puffed up about this experience I had, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now, what's he do about that? He said, concerning this thing, this thorn in the flesh, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Have you been there lately, friends? Have you pleaded with the Lord about something? Am I the only one? We have been there, some of us, pleading with the Lord to remove this affliction, this thorn in the flesh, this difficulty, this cancer, whatever it is, we have been there as well. He said, I pleaded with God three times that it, the thorn in the flesh, might depart from me. And what does God say? Here's what he said. Paul, Jim, and all the rest, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength, God said, is made perfect in weakness. He's not talking about his own weakness. He's talking about Paul's or Jim's or yours. And he said, my strength is sufficient and made perfect in your weakness. And then Paul said, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And he said further, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities. Anybody? We taking pleasures in infirmities? I didn't think so. But that's where he got. Why? He said, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, because when I am weak, then I am strong. Hallelujah. That's why he took pleasure in the infirmities. Did he like the thorn in the flesh? No. Do we like when we're told we got cancer or COVID or we lost another loved one? No. But God reminded him, my grace is sufficient for you all. And he reminded Paul, and he's reminded me, and he's reminded us, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you're all puffed up about yourself, Jim, God can't shine through. When Paul's all puffed about himself, God's strength can't shine through. But in our weakness, is when he shines through. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? Remember that phrase. I'm going to tell you a little story. Remember the phrase, when I am weak, then I am strong. And let me say this. If you're listening here on Facebook, thank you for being with us. Thank you all for being here this morning in this first service. But I want you to know that even in our weaknesses, even in our difficulties, even in our infirmities, even in our persecutions, even in our afflictions, God is good. Are you hearing me, friends? God is still good. And God's glory shines best in our weakness. And he has not forgotten about you in your thorn in the flesh. Now, the story. The first 3 years of her life were ordinary and somewhat comfortable, at least as comfortable as it could be when your mom is a young, unmarried Korean woman trying to raise a baby girl that was half Korean and half white from an American soldier. She didn't remember her name for those first 3 or 4 years. But she did remember the times her mom would dress her in a pretty dress and they'd go celebrate the Korean holidays with family. She remembered that from 3 or 4 years old. She also remembered at that last holiday, her mother was very sad. And she remembers when they got home from that last holiday, her mother said to her, "Tomorrow I will be putting you on a train in town to go to another town to live with your uncle." She remembered that at 3 or 4 years old. What her mom didn't tell her was, as an unmarried woman having a biracial baby in the time right after the Korean War, that was a problem for the family. And that problem needed to be dealt with. Her mom didn't tell her that. So the next day, after holding her little girl all night long, this 3 or 4 year old was put on a train and told, "Now when the train stops and the other people get off, you get off there too." And so the little girl was put on the train, and it traveled for some hours, many, many miles. And when she got there, she got off, as she was told, like all the people. She waited all afternoon and into the evening, but no uncle came. And finally, when night came and no uncle in sight, the train station manager told her, "Get out of here. Got to close up for night and you can't be here." So at the ripe old age of 3 or 4, she went outside and crawled under a wagon and gathered up some straw for a bed and tried to get some rest, not knowing what another day would bring. The next day, no uncle, nor the next, nor the next, nor the next week. And for the next 3 years, she lived in the ruggedness of the Korean countryside, eating grasshoppers and mice and whatever she could steal from farmers in the harvest season to stay alive. When you read her story, which I have, she was caught by several different farmers who called her many ugly names. Because she was biracial, they even tried to kill her. She describes in a couple of instances how they tried to kill her. Both times, it seems like God intervened into this little girl's life. By the time she was somewhere around 6, she somehow managed to survive around 3 years. And by the time she was 6, maybe 7, she wandered into another city where others noticed her. And they invited her to come to stay with them down by the river. You see, down by the river, there was a couple of hundred orphans who had all been outcast, who had all been set aside by their parents, thrown away. And so the Korean children of that time were down by the river. For a little while, she actually felt that someone loved her. She felt like she belonged to a family. They actually gave her something to eat. They gave her a blanket and treated her like she belonged to the family. Then the rape and sexual abuse started by the teenage orphans. She thought at first this is just what happened to all the little girls. And even though she hated it and she cried, she asked them to stop. It went on for some time. Sometime later, she contracted cholera, and she was literally left to die on the edge of town in the garbage of the city. That's when a Swedish missionary lady found her laying there dying in the garbage. And at the ripe old age of 7, she was taken to the orphanage. But at 7, she was too old to be adopted. Most people were looking for babies. But in the orphanage, she did get fed. And she had a role, if nothing else, caring for the babies. And she felt that maybe she had some purpose instead of someone trying to hurt her and others trying to kill her. At this point, her body was covered in lice, so much so that her black wavy hair was matted with lice and it had turned white. Her tummy was full of worms, so full, she states, and I quote, "When the worms got hungry, they crawled out my mouth." She was bruised and she was little, about 30 pounds at 7 years old. But after being at the orphanage for a little while, it seemed like God was watching over her after all. And another miracle happened. Two American missionaries came upon the orphanage looking perhaps to adopt a baby boy. And they came several days in a row and they kept seeing this little girl. They knew she was older. There was something mysterious about her. And they felt compelled to inquire about her. They could see she was very guarded. Long story shorter, they adopted her and they called her Stephanie. By the time they adopted her, she was about 9 years old, and they took her to America. Only when she had learned that the Americans adopted her as their daughter and not as a slave, did she really let her guard down and she began to see love. She did well in school. She became the homecoming queen. And she was loved by her parents and people in her school. As a teenager, she trusted Christ as Lord. And she grew into adulthood. She married and has been working endlessly to bring awareness to us in America about the plight of orphans around the globe. She's written at least one book. I know it to be true. It's called She Is Mine. And her name is Stephanie Fast. Why do I tell you this story? Two reasons, really. Sometimes things in life don't go the way we want them to go. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? Sometimes they don't go the way we want them to go. Sometimes they don't go the way we think they should. And I'm reminded in this story, in our own, of the words of Paul, "When I am weak, then I'm strong." That young Korean mother was more or less forced to dump her little girl and be rid of the menace that she would be to their family. So she dumped her. Did she want to? Probably not, but she did. The other reason I tell this story, friends, sometimes people will fail you. We will fail one another from time to time. Sometimes, even as parents, we fail you. But when you've been failed by people, I want you to know there is Jesus. There's always Jesus willing to love and to listen, to embrace, to nurture, to help, to guide, and to save you. There is always Jesus. When people fail you, when we really encounter Jesus, when we really experience the grace of the living God, we are finally safe. We are finally safe in His arms and in His care. And when life gets downright ugly, and I know that it has for a lot of you, It can get ugly from time to time, to be sure. Remember always that you are loved by God, and remember always that Jesus died for our sin, and remember always what Paul said earlier, when we are at our weakest, he is made strong. Remember those words that God said to Paul when Paul was pleading, he was begging, do something in my life to change my circumstances. Remember the words of Jesus that said, my grace is what you really need. For my strength, God says, is made perfect in your weakness. I know that today some of you have a beautiful relationship or have had in the past with your mother. Perhaps she's gone now. Or your grandmother or your adoptive mother. And stories like Stephanie's are hard to imagine. Let me encourage you, praise God for that good relationship. And then there are those who know the feelings that Stephanie knew. I know those are real stories here because I've heard them. They know the stories like Stephanie's, rejected by family, abandoned, hated, called names, bitterness, and pain. They know the story. I want you to know that God loves you. You were never a mistake. Little Stephanie was not a mistake. She's about my age, and God is still using her. You just Google her name. You'll see it. You'll find the story. The family may have thought little Stephanie, I don't know, she doesn't even know what her name was the first 3 years. She was not a mistake. And you're not either. And I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to be reminded on this day of John 3:16, and I'll close with this, and we're going to sing, I Will Rise Again. I want you to be reminded that God so loved the world. That's little boys and girls like Stephanie, and it's adults who have never felt loved or never felt accepted or never felt welcomed or never treated reasonably. For God so loved all of that he gave us his only son. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? For God so loved the world, the little girls like Stephanie, the children in America today that are being rejected and misused and mistreated and all kinds of horrors, and children all over the world. For God so loved all of that he gave us Jesus. We needed a Savior. We needed someone to rescue us. I needed rescuing. We needed rescuing from the horrors of the world, maybe, but from sin. We needed rescuing. And God loved us so, he sent his son to rescue us from all of it. And if you've never experienced that love, may I encourage you, turn to Jesus today. And understand the love of God. Understand the grace of God. Understand the forgiveness of God. And know that you are loved by God without measure. As we close today, let me say two things. Number one, happy Mother's Day. Ladies, all of you, thank you for being part of our lives. And for those of you that are burdened, feeling a little like Stephanie or something else, There's a master that's waiting with his arms wide open for you. Come by faith. Lay everything at the cross and leave it with him. All your burdens, all your pain, all the sin, leave it with him. And allow him to wash you clean and strengthen you for the journey that he has for you that lies ahead. Lay it all down at the cross of Jesus. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you again for moms. My mom, my wife, my daughters, who are all moms, the moms that are here, the moms that have influenced us in Sunday schools and youth groups and teachers and all along life. Thank you, Father, for that beautiful role, that wonderful role, that blessed role of motherhood. Thank you, Father, for your great love. And I just pray again, Father, if there's anybody listening today or here this morning, certainly there are those in our communities that have never experienced that love, the love of God, the grace of God. Father, reach them today, I pray. For those of us with burdens or baggage or sin, help us to repent of that, help us to lay it down, help us to be rid of it once and for all, and washed in the blood of Jesus, and healed in the blood of Jesus, and set free by the power and the name and the blood of Jesus. So whatever our case is today, Father, I pray, minister to each and every one here, each and every one watching. It might be sickness that's burdening them. It might be relationships. It might be something else. Father, set them free from all of it and help us to understand, beginning with me as you spoke to Paul, help us to understand when we are weak, it is precisely then we are strong. To the glory of God, go with each one here, each one watching. Help them to have a good rest of this day. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.